The Wintrust Business Lunch Hour is on the air. I'm Bob Surratt.
I'm Marianne Marciano. Hello.
It is Wednesday, the 29th of April, and as you've been hearing, U.S. companies are about halfway through reporting profits for the first 3 months of the year. Results a bit disappointing, but I guess it could have been worse. Let's check in with Terry Savage and get her take on things.
We've had a reasonably good... The profits aren't great, but compared to the analysts' expectations, they've been pretty much right on the market. So it hasn't been a big disappointment. The market's been wandering around today. It was down over 150 points just briefly. It's down, the Dow, we just heard, down 111 now as I'm talking. So what's happened to hit the market today is, of course, we had this report of gross domestic product, the GDP, how's the economy growing? And you remember, it wasn't that long ago that there was expectations the economy would grow 3% in the first quarter. And the analyst expectations for what the number would be starting this morning was at least 1%, but maybe 1.5%. But, you know, the economy grew at 0.2%.
Here I was thinking that the whole thing happened because of Twitter's not-so-great news.
Yeah, that was crazy
Twitter
with
Twitter.
Twitter
might move the world, but it doesn't move the whole GDP. And what did move the whole GDP was a combination of things like the weather. Okay, blame it on the weather. The port strike on the West Coast. It had difficulty getting goods through the economy. And the big thing I think that we saw is yesterday's consumer confidence report shows that consumers are not confident. Today we learned that consumer spending, which is like almost three quarters of GDP, was actually down a little bit. So
and that makes
spending
no sense.
Was up only 1.9% versus 4.4% in the fourth quarter. The savings rate is actually up a bit. And the bottom line is all of you who are so thrilled with lower gasoline prices have not been spending that dividend. You've been paying down debt. Congratulations. Maybe bad for the GDP, but it's good for your personal finances.
Can we really make those assumptions that people are saving money at the gas pump and then they're not spending that money?
Oh, yeah, we can see that. Absolutely. We see it in the statistics out just today that spending up less than 2%. It was up 4.4%.
But people who've invested in the stock market and are, you know, buying a few shares here and there and not doing it through like a big mutual fund, people are feeling the sting because stocks have not really done anything.
And we're near all-time highs. We're within a few points of all-time highs in the stock market. Stocks have done wonderfully. And part of the reason is not that business is so great.
I mean, in
it's
the last few
so
days.
Much money. Well, volatility, my dear.
Yeah. I mean, it's volatile.
Yeah,
up 200 points, down 200 points, no
what?
Big
at
deal
these,
anymore.
At these levels, exactly right, Bob. At these levels, at such a small percentage, that if I what would surprise you, I wish I had the statistics in front of me, volatility is really relatively toward the low side.
Twitter was very volatile. That was leaked, right? That's what happened?
There was a very strange thing. It's happened once or twice. A robot crawler that searches for numbers and so forth found a link to Twitter's earnings report and tweeted it and literally got it out there.
Before the market closed yesterday.
Yes, before the close when the earnings are usually released after the close. So there have been some technical glitches a couple of times. I'm trying to remember the other big company that about 4 or 5 months ago got its earnings leaked. Not maliciously, but you have to guard data if you're a corporation.
And that sent Twitter stock down.
You know, forget the fact that it was leaked and it was early. It was so disappointing because Twitter is great and everybody uses it. And I would think the traffic is growing. But the idea has been they finally figured out how to monetize all that Twitter traffic with ads. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like it's working.
You want to talk a little about insurance today?
Yeah, I want to talk about life insurance. I think that a lot of people are really underinsured, and I want to give you, you could stop and think you're driving, don't stop in the highway, but just think about it. What if something happened to you right now? I mean, just like right this minute, whatever you're doing, whether you're, you know, sitting in your office or you're in the highway, and that were it. What would happen to the people that care about you and who are depending on your income? and depending not only on your income this month, but for years to come to pay for the mortgage or to pay for college.
You sound like an insurance agent right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm very superstitious, to tell you the truth. I would have made a good insurance agent. But these days, you don't need an insurance agent because everything is online. And that's the whole point of writing this column that's up right now at terrysavage.com. And in the Tribune, it's pretty exciting to have my columns appearing in the Tribune. But the fact is that people are underinsured or uninsured. Now, I will say first off, if you answer to that question, nobody is dependent on me right now. If something happened to me, the only worst thing that would happen is somebody'd have to figure out what to do with my stuff in my apartment. And by the way, you know, I probably have a little life insurance at work for burial expenses. And, you know, if I die, my visa, I mean, they won't be able to collect. They can't come running to your best friend and collect on your visa.
That's because that's part of...
That's your estate.
That's your estate. Okay, so up until what time, what age should people have insurance?
Well, you know, first of all, some parents buy insurance on their young children. I think that's... I'm really against that because I think, you know, God forbid something happened to your child and you get a hunk of money. What are you doing with that? You know, you're going to recarpet the playroom? Please. So I'm talking about... adults who have people depending on them, a spouse, children for college and so forth. And there, you know, people's eyes glaze over when you say insurance. So I just, for purposes of this discussion, there are a lot of great insurance products out there, but I'm just talking about coverage in case something happens to you. And the simplest thing is to buy term insurance. And the column has some quotes for term insurance that you prove that you could buy like $500,000 of term insurance for $1 a day. What brought this column for me to write it was I was talking to a young guy, a single
father. No matter how old you are?
No, what is it? I'm going to tell you what it depends on. But this guy was a tennis teacher, and I said, you know, you're the sole support of your kids. Do you have enough life? Oh, I have 3 different policies, and I'm paying so much every month. And I said, wait, let me look at it. And AccuQuote is a Chicago online company, AccuQuote.com. But you could call them up. Give me a commercial here, 877-586-8376, AccuQuote.com. And I asked them to run the cost of insurance. He had 3 different policies for $500,000 worth of term. And the guy saved a couple hundred dollars a month, which he really needed. So it's not just not having enough term, but it's understanding that prices have fallen. It's a very competitive market. If you're in good health, I'm going to just give you an idea. You're a 42-year-old man, and you're in the top health and a non-smoker. You can get $500,000 of 20-year level term insurance for $434 a year, a little over $1 a day. If you're a woman, by the way, you pay less because you live longer. So the woman would only pay $363 versus $434 for the man. So she really is $1 a day for $500,000 worth of term. I have to tell you, however, if that woman smoked, do you talk about the impact of smoking? I mean, we all talk about it generally, and you don't want to smoke because you know it's bad for your health. A woman who could pay $363 for $500,000 of 20-year level term, if she smokes, it's $1,270 a year. So like 4 times as much for life insurance. I mean, if anything proves you shouldn't smoke,
that's
besides
it right
the
there.
Money you spend on cigarettes.
Hold that thought. More with Terry Savage on life insurance and other financial matters coming right up. We're talking about an interesting post at terrysavage.com about life insurance. And as Terry points out, not everyone needs it. If you don't have loved ones who depend on your income and future earnings, there may be better ways to invest your money. But Terry, you like term insurance, don't you?
You know, for people who are young and who don't have a lot of money to spend on insurance, don't want to make it a big budget item, term insurance buys the most insurance for your money. When you're young and healthy, it's very cheap, and you can set it up so that it's a level payment over 20, even 30 years. Later on, you might need insurance for various other reasons, buy-sell agreement for a business or you know, estate taxes, a lot of good reasons for having cash value insurance. I have nothing against it. Policies that build up cash tax-free that you can borrow out at some point.
Is that whole life? Is that what
you mean? Yes, permanent life, and there are various forms of it because the cash inside could grow at a fixed rate or a variable rate based on your choice of sort of sub-accounts like mutual funds. It gets very complicated. But I'm just talking about the protection so that your family is taken care of. And for that, you don't have to be a genius and you don't have to sit and listen to a life insurance, but you can go online and then a lot of people are scared. Okay, I go online to AccuQuote.com or one of the many places where you can go. Well, but I don't know if it's good for me, it's right, how to fill it out. They have all these sites, have real people standing there who guide you through it. And, you know, if you're a smoker, it's going to cost more. But you need to work through people who are just selling this very least expensive term insurance just to get yourself covered. I mean, I could write a book. There have been books written. There's two chapters in the in my book on insurance. But the simple thing is term life. And as I started to say, I'm very superstitious. I think you're tempting fate if you have responsibilities and you don't at least have enough life insurance to keep the family going for a number of years. It's not just your salary. It's mm-hmm. how long it will take to replace your income.
More at TerrySavage.com. Terry was also talking to us during the break about home buying, and this is a good time to buy one, isn't
this
it?
This is a sneak preview of the column that'll go up in a few days. I wrote that there are just so many good reasons. Here's what's happened. Business is sitting on its money. They're not investing in expanding, which is why the economy isn't growing. And consumers are saving, as I say, I applaud that. But I think this is going to be a rare opportunity, a lifetime rare opportunity, to buy a home now. First of all, we know that rents are going up. There are not a lot of new apartments building, so you're at the mercy of the landlord. And people always learn from the last most expensive lesson, which was don't buy a home. You could get caught. You could lose your house. You could lose everything. That's not going to happen again in our lifetime because we've already had it happen. Now, this is not the bottom of the housing market. In fact, the Case-Shiller report just came out and said that home prices were up 5% year over year just a couple of days ago. But by no means have housing prices run away. People think, here are the things. There are plenty of ways to get a home. We don't want to encourage, you know, no down payment loans anymore, but there are low down payment loans, especially if you're a veteran, there's no down payment loans, and the FHA has low down payment loans. So you need a down payment. That doesn't mean you should extend yourself if you really can't afford it, but don't be scared if you've got a down payment. You need to have pretty good credit, 660, but it's now 7-8 years ago that people started getting foreclosed. There's an opportunity right here.
Well, the best thing I've just heard is you saying that that real estate market crash happened and it's not going to happen again in our lifetime. You're very confident about that, aren't
you? Yeah, because it takes a generation or two or three for people to learn the lessons. You know, think about the people coming out of the Depression. They didn't borrow any money. They saved every little penny they had. The World War II children learned those lessons. They were pretty frugal. And along came the baby boomers who never remembered their grandparents being fearful of losing their homes. And so they leveraged everything up and the generation followed them. It's going to be in our collective consciousness now, and we've seen the proof in the savings figures and the spending figures, saving the gasoline dividend, paying down your debt. Okay, that's very good, but a home has always been not a speculative vehicle. I argued against that for years. A home is a place where you, yes, can grow your wealth, build equity. Ultimately, if you live there for 30 years, which people don't do, but you could take it out in a reverse mortgage, which we talked about. So the point is, it's a great way to grow your wealth. It's a great way to control a bit of your destiny. And if you and interest rates, I mean, you're going to get a 30-year mortgage under 4%. I don't think you're going to see that again unless America goes down the tubes, and I don't believe that's happening.
We hope not.
The scare tactics that we read about are still scary to me, though.
What scare tactics?
And people who predicted the last, you know, economic downfall, writing about it again, saying it's going to happen again. It's just a matter of time. So you don't believe any of that?
Well, you know what? Sure, we have huge problems with our national debt, with our state debt, with our city pensions. I'm talking about America is not a nation of pessimists. It was the optimists that came here in the first place to make this country. And so we have a great inherent optimism, despite some of the idiotic things that come out of Washington, both political parties. Our economy manages to grow, to create jobs, and people manage to create wealth. Look at all the immigrants that came here post-Vietnam, post-everything, from all over the world. There are still people taking boats to come to America.
To land of opportunity.
It is.
Terry Savage, it's the book, The Savage Truth on Money. Thank you, Terry, for selling us insurance and homes today. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
See ya. Sir Adam Murciano in the afternoon. And we're, as usual, broadcasting in person from the Allstate Showcase studio. And just a little bit south of us, towards the Chicago River in Pioneer Court, big doings already. The NFL draft gets underway on Thursday. And, of course, the Auditorium Theater on will be the site of all the action on the NFL Network and ESPN. And Dave Ennett from WGN Sports is right now presiding over some of the activities in Pioneer Court. And I hear some static, which indicates we might not be hearing Dave just yet.
Or maybe we will.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
As they say, can they hear me now?
Dave, we're looking out the window, and there's a giant screen on Pioneer Court, a ton of people, a stage has been set up, and you're out there in the middle of it somewhere. What's going on?
Yes, I am, and this is called NFL Legends and Prospects, the intro. And this is kind of the first big pop-off to the draft festivities coming up over the next 4 days or so. And what this is a chance for some of the former players and guys who have been drafted to get out on stage with guys who are going to be drafted tomorrow, Friday, or Saturday. And so it's sort of a quick roadmap for these young guys on what to expect when they hear their name called at the Auditorium Theater tomorrow or Friday, or out in Grand Park at Draft Town on Saturday.
Quite a crowd out there, and I guess this is the big deal with all of this. So much of this open to the public here in Chicago.
Well, it is a big deal, and in fact, this event was kicked off by Mayor Emanuel. He got up on stage, got the crowd revved up a little bit, and Chris Carter, the former great Minnesota Vikings wide receiver, and Michael Irvin, the former Dallas Cowboys Pro Bowl receiver, are the MCs for this. And they've got players from every team represented out here, but as you can imagine, the biggest cheer was for Bears Hall of Famer Dick Butkus, the last of the former players who was introduced here. And now they've brought out about a half dozen or more of the college guys who are going to be introduced tomorrow. So it's kind of neat to see the generations blended a little bit here. Guy, I'm sure you remember, Bob, Icky Woods is
who?
Up on stage.
Who?
Remember Icky Woods from the Cincinnati
Icky.
Bengals did the Icky Shuffle?
In fact,
he's in a commercial now doing it.
The Icky Shuffle. Yeah. Actually, the highlight for me was earlier today when you were in the office explaining the draft to Marianne. I enjoyed that. Good job.
Do you want to run through that again?
Well, no, Marianne can now explain it to everybody else. That's how it works.
I'm going to let you do that, Dave. I don't think other people need to know.
Okay, well, it's going to be fun. And after 1 o'clock, we'll hear more from Don Welsh from Choose Chicago, the city's tourism bureau, about all of the events open to the public today, tomorrow, and I through Friday, right, Dave?
Through Saturday, Draft Town in Grant Park. I think that's really going to be cool. It's kind of an interactive event. Teams will be there. There's food, music. There's a free concert Saturday night with Philip Phillips, and all kinds of activities all surrounding the draft. And the weather forecast is beautiful. So I hope people get out and really take advantage of this, because it only comes around once every 51 years or so.
Right.
I know. We're so lucky to have it. And I was just going to make that comment about how lucky the city got with this weather. I mean, it could have been last week.
Oh, unbelievable. And the forecast is even better for the weekend. And the final rounds of the draft, the final four rounds, which will take place on Saturday, the selections are not going to be made in the Auditorium Theater. They're going to be made out in Grant Park. So you could literally have tens of thousands, 100,000 people out there watching the draft taking place on Saturday, which is certainly unprecedented.
Dave Ennett reporting from Pioneer Court today. We will be in touch. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Marianne.
It's always interesting to me that we talk to people from all over the world here live, and usually there's not a problem until we're trying to get a remote pickup from about 300 feet away. Let's check on the hashtags, likes, and shares. That's how it is in the high-tech world, isn't it, Scott Kleinberg?
Yes, it is.
let's start with the news about the Pope. He's the retweet king, isn't he?
I think that's a really great name for him, retweet king, but yes, he is. He has 19.5 million followers on Twitter. He has 9 different accounts, 9 different languages. So he's definitely a busy guy.
But does he tweet himself? Or does he have his people tweeting?
He's got a person, of course.
He has a person, but he has been known to tweet.
And really?
It has been a point that he has made that he is technology savvy, so he does do some tweets.
Okay, because Bob and I were having this argument the other night because it was like the middle of the night, and I started reading off to Bob Larry King's tweets.
Well, I know he's got a guy.
No sense.
He's tweeting. He's not as tech savvy as the Pope. I know that.
They make no sense, or they're like ridiculous. And then Bob was convinced that he just has a guy who's doing that.
No,
it was like every 40 seconds.
He said that Larry calls a guy, and then the guy just spaces out the tweets.
Yes, yes.
Not and too much.
He probably tells him not to make sense, so it sounds like him.
There you go. Let's see. The president is still very popular, though, on Twitter,
yes,
right?
Yes, the president is extremely popular. He has 57 million followers. He had 44 million last year, so that's an increase of 13 million, which is pretty amazing. But when he gets retweeted, he gets 1,210 retweets on average. The Pope gets almost 10,000 retweets on average per tweet. So that's pretty good. Those are numbers I'm shooting for by the end of the week, but I don't know if I'm going to make it or not.
A lot of talk about Twitter's stock problems, but a success story from Twitter is Periscope, isn't it?
Yeah, Periscope is doing really well. Periscope is Twitter's live streaming app, competes with Meerkat and some other apps as well. And they said that they had 1 million users 10 days after launch, which is great for any app.
Yeah,
but
we
it's
tried
super
that.
Popular.
We tried that app, and I don't even know if we can actually make it go live. But it's kind of scary. It happens very fast, don't you think?
It does. It does. You have to have a pretty good idea of what you want to do. They say it's supposed to be, you know, on the cuff kind of thing because you're supposed to just be, you know, spontaneous. But it helps to have a plan on what you want to do because it does happen really quickly.
Now then, once again, Starbucks is doing some business on social media. What's up today?
You know, yesterday they released the s'mores Frappuccino, which is newsworthy enough. I mean, it's huge. And then they announced that they're going to put cookie straws in the Frappuccino, which is a straw with a hollowed out. It's a hollowed out cookie that's a straw, and they're going to be like 95 cents, but they're giving it away for free. I haven't had one yet, but they're giving it away for free in the beginning for these Frappuccinos. So now you can have your s'mores through a cookie straw, which to me is brilliant. Unnecessary, but brilliant.
They don't care about calories at Starbucks,
no,
do
they? Don't.
They say they do. They're on the board.
Oh, really?
But, you know, it's like 10,000 or whatever.
By the way, Periscope is running my Periscope account, which I'm not sure what it is. And here you are.
Hello.
And you too, Bob. And we can even zoom in on what's happening outside with that big screen, I guess.
Draftapalooza out there.
Draftapalooza, right.
Yep.
And I'm not sure who's watching this or how people can follow me, but is it my Twitter account, my handle? Is it at Havana Girl?
It is your Twitter account handle. And if before you start your Periscope, you click on the little Twitter icon, it will broadcast something on your Twitter account saying that you are now live. That really helps when you start a Periscope to let people know. Otherwise, the only way is in the app.
By the way, Scott, before you leave, I am confused about sending messages on Twitter. Did they change something? Or if I want to send a message to somebody on Twitter, doesn't everybody see that?
Only if you turn on the feature allowing that. There's a feature in your settings now that says accept direct messages from anyone.
Oh.
So if I have that turned on, which I haven't done yet simply because I'm worried about the flow of potential spam and things like that. But if I turn that on, we follow each other, so it doesn't matter. But somebody who doesn't follow me could send me a message and I could respond back. I've thought about turning it on, trying it, then turning it off. I just haven't done it yet. But they're always making changes because they think that private messaging should be less private. I don't know that that's going to end up working in the long run, but we'll see.
I'm glad we have you around to sort through all this. Scott
That's
Kleinberg,
right.
The column in the Tribune is so social, and we'll talk to you again, Scott. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Scott. Say bye
Anytime.
To Periscope.
Bye, Periscope.
Let's open up our mover, shaker, and maker department and introduce you to Chef Scott Fisher, the owner of Fish and Chips Cookies. And you probably know him from Master Chef. He was selected out of more than 40,000 chefs to participate a few years ago. He didn't win, but who cares? Because you're famous now, aren't you, Chef?
Well, in my own mind, I guess.
No, you're famous everywhere. You're Dancing with the Stars. You're doing all the first of all, I have to say, I just had a bite of the cookie that everyone has been talking about for hours.
Thank you.
And it is, what's the secret ingredient? I cannot even believe it.
Yeah, the twist is the brown butter. So we actually brown butter. It's the stage right before it burns, it browns. And we add that, and it gives it a nutty flavor, a real unique flavor to the cookies.
And we should say Fish and Chips Cookies. That's Fish, F-I-S-C-H, for Chef Scott Fisher.
Right, last name.
You grew up on the North Shore here. Always been interested in food?
I have. You know, I've cooked ever since I can remember. You know, my first home ec class, I think.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Highland Park.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then what was the first big break for you?
The first big break was about 4 years ago, MasterChef. I auditioned.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. You know.
So what does it take to be able to get on that show? I mean, is it the food? Is it the personality?
You know,
what are you doing in audition?
Yeah, they look for everything. They really want to know. They want to play somebody who's marketable. That's what I've learned. So, yes, it has to do with the food. So I auditioned with a dish that I, you know, knew would be a winner.
Which one?
I did a roasted coconut shrimp, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is, you know, phenomenal. Not
did
fried.
Did you brown the butter?
No. The butter... Actually, there is a compound butter that goes over the shrimp, and it roasts in the oven.
Okay,
and it's on baby spinach leaves. It was really incredible. You go through about four audition phases. You know, you go in front of the producers. You have an on-camera audition, and then you fly out to LA, and you know, it's like anything else. You just hope you get the apron, and I couldn't believe it.
And now your famous chocolate chip cookies have been served at the Oscars, the Grammys, every place.
We did. We were lucky to do the Oscars and the Grammys, and really from MasterChef and through my relationships, I had the opportunity to produce the culinary event for Dancing with the Stars last
season.
Okay,
how does that happen? You keep saying you were lucky enough, but well, there's got to be something else. I mean, like, you're probably a great salesman. you've got an incredible personality. You've been here for about an hour, and every single person at the station is just back there talking to you.
I'm getting dancing lessons.
I'm going to get a dancing lesson from you.
Well, I don't know how good that's going to be, but I mean, I can give you baking lessons, but... so what happened was, you know, after MasterChef, again, it opens up a lot of doors and opportunities. I partnered with a company called Blendtec. They make blenders.
Okay.
Sort of like a Vitamix.
I want to partner with them.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's good. Great smoothies. So they were actually a sponsor for Dancing with the Stars, and they were backstage spinning these green smoothies for the show. Well, they wanted to tie that into the rap party, the rap season for the show. And Blendtec had some challenges in pulling it all together. They said, hey, remember the guy we met from MasterChef? Let's call him. I bet he can tackle this event. So lo and behold, I got a phone call 4 weeks out and said, hey, can you do this event for ABC? And I thought, well, absolutely. And in the back of my mind is, how am I going to pull this off for 500 people? And we just did. And it was, you know, a great event. One of the best in Hollywood.
I mean, took a bite out of your chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
A chocolate chip cookie, I mean, it's so simple, but really, it's really hard to perfect it, isn't it?
It is. And so I cook, but I always baked as a hobby, so I could never nail a good cookie. So it took me about 6 months to just really find the best recipe, you know, not too soft, not too hard.
Yeah, I love the texture of this.
It's right in the middle, a little crispy on the outside, really.
So the recipe is not the one that's on the back of the bag.
No, I couldn't even make that one, believe it or not. I tried, and I failed.
Why?
You know,
how do you make it? Do you publish your recipe?
No, we don't publish it, but I can... You know, fill you in on
but then you'll be
are
killed.
Secret ingredients besides besides the
brown butter.
Brown
no,
butter?
It's all what I've learned. It's a science. So it's the right ratios of flour, sugar, butter, but the brown butter really takes it over the edge. It's a science, and the way you bake it in the oven.
We're lucky enough to be sampling it right now. Yeah. But how can people have your wonderful goods?
You know, we're rolling it out nationwide soon. But for the meantime, through a major retailer will actually carry the actual cookies and the frozen dough. We've got fish and chips dough on the go.
That's perfect.
But we're going to be baking live throughout the summer, throughout, you know, at various locations in the city. You can go to our website, fishandchips.com.
And that's, again, F-I-S-C-H.
Okay,
C-H.
And before we let you go, tell me really quickly, Dancing with the Stars, and then you have a gala that you're...
We have a local fundraiser for, it supports the DuPage Senior Citizens Council, provides meals, it's Meals on Wheels.
And you're going to be dancing for that?
And I will be dancing on Saturday, May 9th with a host of other folks.
Where?
At the Westin in Itasca.
Okay.
And it'll be a fun event. And we're doing we partnered with our friends over at Fred Astaire Dance Studios in Burr Ridge.
And then were you always a dancer? How did you get to be Dancing with the Stars? And I want to be able to dance like that, but I can't dance.
Oh, I'll
well, why
show
don't you do
should,
a...
We'll do a quick one, yeah.
Do the Frug and the Jerk during the news, Marianne. If you want more information on that May 9th event, DuPageSeniorCitizensCouncil.org.
Yes.
Fish and Chips, and it's celebrity chef Scott Fisher, and congratulations, and thanks for bringing in the cookies.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Amazing. Unbelievable. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Bob Sirott and Marianne Murciano on 720 WGN.